Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be gathered together in the name of Jesus. Father, we expect you to manifest your presence here. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your spirit is the spirit of truth who leads and guides us into the truth. And the truth is your word. And as we know the word, we are set free in our business and in our finances. Lord, we thank you that tonight you write the word on the tablets of our hearts so that we don't forget it. Father, we thank you that revelation knowledge flows in this place. Father, we thank you that revelation flows from our spirit to our understanding. We thank you, Father, that we understand your word. Father, we thank you that you renew our minds tonight to the principles of the kingdom regarding finances and how to run our businesses and how to trust you for breakthrough and how to trust you for divine provision. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of us in business have heard of a man by the name of Tom Hopkins. Now, from what I understand from my days of studying, he's selling techniques and so on. I don't know that he's a Christian or anything, but he used certain biblical principles, you know, that work. If you use them, they will work for you. But by applying those principles in his life, he became the most successful property salesman in history. There's another man, also in the sales field, Mr. Ben Feltman, and Zig Ziglar shares about Ben Feltman, who was the greatest life insurance salesperson of all time. Now, historically, people that sell things, salespeople, they're the ones that earn the most money in the world. You'll never earn the kind of money sitting in a 9-to-5 job that you will earn if you sell something. Something that you're passionate about. Something that you can get excited about. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, all of us have shoes. Somebody sold those soles, or the material for the soles, or the heels. Somebody sold that to somebody, and they're excited about it. They're so excited about it that they sold it to the manufacturer or supplier, and it was fitted onto your shoes, and you're wearing it. You're paying that man's commission. There's nothing in this room that wasn't sold by a salesperson. Your spectacles, if you have hair color, the soap that you washed your face with today, the clothing on your body. Somebody came from a farm and went to a co-op somewhere and sold the cotton to the co-op. The co-op bought it from the farmer. They again, in turn, sent it to some manufacturer who made the material, who dyed the material. Then the material representative went to a textile manufacturer. And then they did whatever they did there, and patterns and whatever. And then you know these documentaries that you see of these rows and rows and rows of people working in these clothing factories. All right. Some representatives from those companies went to head office at Foschini's and Edgar's and wherever you buy your clothes, Mr. Price, and sold it to them. And guess what? When you walked in at Mr. Price, if there was not a salesperson, there was good advertising, special offer on these t-shirts or these jeans or whatever. And eventually somebody come to you and you would have to go and pay for it. And they would basically sell the product to you. And so it goes on and on and on. There's virtually nothing that is not sold. So selling is probably, well, it is. It's the most lucrative industry or profession to be in. All business, every single kind of business, the business that you're involved in, there's some selling going on. Even if you're in an administrative capacity in your organization, there's somebody that goes out and markets the service. They might not get paid for it. There's certain organizations, say a non-profit organization, their representatives or delegates or whatever you want to call them, they go out and they present their service. And they might not get a commission for that. But they're still selling. They're offering that service. Amen? So, let's listen to what Zig Ziglar has to say about Ben Feltman. And then we'll get into the topic for tonight. Ben Feltman is arguably the greatest life insurance salesperson of all time. In his career, he sold more insurance than some insurance companies do. However, he struggled to get started and had difficulty selling a $5,000 policy. We all struggle somewhere to get started in life. If you have the principles of God available, you can get started a lot quicker and be successful a lot quicker. Some people take a lifetime and they are never successful because nobody's teaching them what I teach you here. Nobody's ever taught them that. Anyway, he struggled to get started and had difficulty selling a $5,000 policy. Over the years, he started thinking. It always starts with a thought process because thoughts are seeds. Thoughts come from words that were spoken, and words are the seeds that produce your thoughts. A thought unspoken dies unborn. If you meditate on a thought long enough and you start speaking it out, you will act on what you say. Over the years, Ben Feldman started thinking that if instead of a $5,000 policy, he could just add one zero to it, it would really take him no more time. He could render far more service and everyone would win. You see, it's a simple paradigm shift in our thinking. Instead of selling properties for 50,000 rand in South Africa, find ones that you can sell for 500,000 rand or 5 million rand or 50 million rand. You see, that helicopter that we can all hear, that thing doesn't cost 10,000 rand. From the sound of what's flying there, that thing is probably 20 million, at least. So if you believe in God for a big company or such an expansion of your company and you're thinking airplane, you better think big. Because airplanes wrote the book on expensive. They did, man. I mean, just a simple, small Learjet will cost you about 5,000 rand an hour to operate. So you must know what the income of that organization has to be. Anyway, let's talk about Ben Feldman. So he said he could render more service and everybody would win if he would just add one zero onto his $5,000 policy. Now remember, I said he started thinking. The sentence says here, he pursued that idea. That's why I say, a thought that dies unspoken, it's not spoken, dies unborn. You start speaking what's in your heart. That's why we confess the word of God over our finances. Because you'll start acting like you are that person which the word says you are. Because in Christ you are prosperous. It might not look like that, but you are. Ben Feldman pursued the idea, raised his sights. See, he changed his vision. We have to look at Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that sets the standard. And sure enough, in a reasonably short period of time, he was selling $50,000 insurance policies. So this is an amazing story. You haven't heard anything yet that's really amazing. This is amazing, but what's coming is still even more. As he pondered the situation. Pondered is like meditate, isn't it? Yeah. And we've discussed that. Meditate is like the cow that chews its cud over and over and over. As he pondered the situation one day, he asked himself if he dared add one more zero and sell $500,000 policies. Sure enough, the early success had increased his confidence and he moved his sales up another zero and $500,000 policies came with regularity. Just a change of thinking. Sowing different seeds in your own heart. You've probably guessed the next step and you're right. He added another zero and soon he was selling $5 million policies. Incredibly enough, one day he enlarged it even further. He added another zero and started selling $50 million life insurance policies. How much more effort was it? Not much more. Maybe a little bit more paperwork or something. But basically the same effort. Just more careful with the homework and but much more money. See, it's working smart, not hard. That's what God wants us to do. This book, the Word of God, has got it all in there. Teaches you how to work smart. Amen? Yes, I'll admit it's an incredible story, especially for this man who was so shy that when the life underwriters invited him to speak at their national meeting, obviously because he was doing so well, he asked for a large screen, which he stood behind to make his talk. And this is how he addressed the people. For a man that was doing that well. He was that shy. So don't come and tell me, well, I'm too shy to do this or whatever. Don't. With God on your side, you're a majority, man.
Yeah. A vast
majority, man.
You're a crowd.
You're a crowd with God. Ben Feldman, the greatest life insurance salesman of all time, was intimidated by the crowd. Incidentally, the bulk of his business was done in the small town of New Liverpool, Ohio. So this excuse, oh well, you know, I come from a small country town. That doesn't hold water anymore either. I don't know who he sold these big policies to, but he did. What's the message we can get from this? When you achieve a small goal, it increases your confidence and you will raise your sights. I say, when you increase your goals and you are successful at achieving them, they sow seeds in your own heart, seeds of faith. Because you see God's faithfulness. And it gives you the chutzpah, or the intestinal fortitude. In South Africa, we call it guts. To go for bigger. Amen? Who knows? Maybe more zeros or small steps that you have to make. I heard you talking about small steps of 5 rand there just now. Small steps. Start small. You see, what we tend to do is we tend to compare ourselves with something else or someone else and say, yeah, but I'm not doing that. No, but faith doesn't work that way. If you have faith as the grain of mustard seed, you will move mountains, whatever the mountain may be. You see, faith is faith. And the beauty of it is when you're born again child of God, you have the God kind of faith living in you. People in the world that are unsaved don't have that. They have an ordinary human faith. And look what they're doing with ordinary human faith. The Bible tells us that it is without faith it is impossible to please God. That's what it says. But on the other hand, nothing is impossible with God. I mean, come on, He made everything we see here. He made you and I. So come on, if we believe Him for something, He can come up with it. So maybe more zeros or small steps is what we all need to add to our lives. Yes, it took a lot of courage and imagination for Ben Feldman to keep moving his objectives higher and higher, and that's where we fall down. You see, we have this fear factor. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You see, there's always an answer. Fear. Remember this acronym. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. Fear is an acronym. F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. That's the only weapon that the enemy has. He comes with a big smoke screen. Oh, look at that. Hoffi, look at that. Christine, look at that. Look at that. False evidence appearing real. The thoughts that come into your head. Well, what if this is going to... How are you going to do that? How are you going to do this? How are you going to do that and that? False evidence appearing real, because he tries to get you into the natural. He tries to get you to look at the circumstances. But we don't walk by the circumstances. We do not walk by what we see with our natural eyes. We walk with what we see with our spiritual eyes. We walk by faith. Yes, it took a lot of courage and imagination for Ben Feldman to keep moving his objectives higher and higher until they reached astronomical heights. You and I can do the same for God. You might have it in your own mind. Again, the mind. That it's so incredible, you could never do anything like that. Listen, if you've got a vision, and you believe it's from God, and to you it's impossible, then it probably is from God. Because only by faith, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, will that thing come to pass. If it's an easy goal, man. So what effort, what faith do you have to put into it? I'd be the first to agree with that, but eternal arithmetic says this, says that you plus God can do some mighty things. In 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, it says, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, and no mind has imagined. You see, yes, we walk in the Spirit, but your mind, renewed with the Word of God, as Romans 12 verse 1 and 2 says, is a clean canvas for the Holy Spirit to paint His picture. That's why we don't want to empty our minds like the New Agers do when they meditate. They empty their minds. No. We fill our minds with the Word of God, because it's the very Word of God that the Holy Spirit uses to paint the picture on the canvas of your mind. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. You might be sitting there thinking, oh, well, who am I? I've forgotten my dreams. I say, dust off those old dreams. They're still possible. In fact, with God, it is possible. In the Old Testament, he puts it in this way in Isaiah 64, verse 4. For since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for Him. That word wait means to intertwine, like a threefold cord, to intertwine, to become one. I mean, a single strand. I mean, we've all been at a harbor somewhere in South Africa. You've been at the quayside, and you see these massive ropes that they have. But if you go and look closely at the rope, they're made up of single strands. Now, one of those single strands will never hold that ship to the quayside. Never. So they put them all together, and it makes the strong rope. And it's the same with us. On our own, we are powerless. But intertwined, that's what the word wait on God means. When you intertwine with Him, that you cannot see the difference. Between when you become that threefold cord with Him, then you're strong. And what does He say here? For since the world began, no ear has heard, no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who intertwine with Him, who become one with Him, who fellowship with Him, who listens to Him. Amen? Now, he says something, it took a lot of courage and imagination. As Christians, we need to, well, what can I say? Catch a wake up. You know, we have this idea, or many Christians have this idea, that, you know, it's just plain sailing. Just an easy thing. You need courage to be a Christian. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, it says, be strong, confident, and of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. There's somebody relating to you, whether it's your children or family or people under you in your business, or possibly you don't have anybody relating to you yet, but you're in a process of advancing financially. So people are going to become dependent on what you do and what you believe God for. We believe for millions. Because to change this world and to preach the gospel, we need millions. To feed all the people, to provide medicine and etc. and stuff that we want to do for God. But you need to have courage to do that. Be strong, confident, and of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land. You see, to help the people to inherit the land, you need courage. I need courage. It takes a lot of courage for me to do what I'm doing. You might not think that. It takes a lot of courage. Because in the Spirit, I have to trust God. I have to wait on God. What you hear over here is, some of it has come for many years, and I've penned it down, and I've put it on paper, and I wait on God, and what do you want me to say tonight, and so on. And sometimes I don't want to hear what He wants me to say, because sometimes it's not nice, because sometimes it touches my own life. A lot of it touches my life. You see, the Word of God is a two-edged sword. When I speak the Word of God out, that sword cuts into your life, but the other edge cuts back in my life. That takes courage. I can't stand here and preach something to you which I'm not prepared to practice. Practice what you preach. Then verse 7, he says again, only be strong You see, if you want to get your family, your people, your workers, your company to inherit the land, the financial land that's out there, whatever land it might be, whether it's healing, whether you are called to preach the gospel, whatever, only you be strong. He says it twice. And very courageous. You and I need to be very courageous. In the financial realm, we need to be very courageous. Because the financial realm has been the domain of the enemy for many, many, many thousands of years, in fact. And God wants us to take it back. But we got to go out there like warriors. I don't know if you saw some of Sylvester Stallone's war movies. And he's all painted, you know, he's in the jungles and he's got a knife in between this massive knife in between his teeth, you know, and he's got hand grenades everywhere and he's stripped down to the waist, you know, and he's got an M16 and I don't know. I mean, he's like this walking army, you know. But in a way, we've got to look like that. We've got to be fearless. But you know what? We don't have to carry all of that stuff. In the spirit, we are clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's all the weaponry. He's all the armor that you need. You just flow in the Holy Ghost. He's given you the gift of the Spirit. That's why it's important to flow in the gift of the Spirit. Especially in the business world. You sit in front of a businessman and you need to be able to discern in the Spirit if that man is genuine. Is he busy signing that piece of paper because he's trying to do you in? Is he going to do something? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Especially when it comes to big money. You need to be able to flow in the Spirit. You need to be able to hear what God is saying. You need to be able to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. You need to. And to be able to do that, we have to press into God. It takes courage. A lot of people just say, this is too much like work for me. I'll just be an ordinary citizen in God's kingdom. I will just go and sit in the pew on Sunday morning, and that's me. I'll work from 9 till 5 and whatever. And they have a reasonable life. But you know what? Many people miss their complete call. They miss their calling. Whether you're called to business or whether you're called to go and preach in the Amazon jungles where people might cut your head off and shrink them. Because those tribes are still alive. There are still tribes which they haven't even discovered. They know there are tribes. There are tribes there that they haven't even documented the languages on this planet. Can you believe it? We have the internet and we have all of that stuff, and yet there are people like that out there. Makes you think. It takes courage. It took courage for Mother Teresa to do what she did. God called her there, and she gave up all the worldly comforts. I mean, people offered her money and fancy motor cars and stuff, and she said, what must I do with the fancy motor car where I am? I don't need a car. Rather give me the money and I'll buy food and medicine. And what did she need it for? Was she prosperous? Yes, she was. Within where she was prosperous. If you're called into business, then you need to be prosperous. Otherwise, why are you in business? And it takes courage. And he says, further on, he says in verse 7, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. See, you got to be focused in business. It takes courage. Amen. All right. Message is entitled, One Way to Ensure a Financial Crop Failure. Now, I'll tell you what it is. It's the mistake we all make. We all know to sow financially. We give our tithes to our local church. We bring our offerings and we give to the poor and we give to the parking attendants. I mean, we all give to the parking attendants. You just calculate how much you give to the parking attendants whenever you park your car in the parkade. How many of you, however, name a seed? Call that 2 rand or whatever you give it a name. Nobody. Very few people do. And that's why we can't understand. But I'm giving and I'm giving. I've given to the poor. I've given to the church. I've given to the work of God. I've helped people. And here I am. I'm not reaping a harvest. It's because you're not naming your seed. If a farmer plants cucumbers, What does he want to see? He wants to see cucumbers. He doesn't go there in two weeks' time. Oh, well, these seedlings look like cucumber seedlings, but why are they not mealie seedlings? Because that's what they do. Cucumber seeds produce cucumber seedlings. You see, in the kingdom of God, that's what we tend to do. We sow, but we sow without purpose. We're going to touch on some scripture and you'll see. It works the same way. That's why there's so many parables in scripture. So many of the natural things that we do. I mean, Jesus keeps on comparing us with sheep. Why? Because sometimes we act like dumb sheep. Yeah, they are like that. But you know what? In Christ, you don't have to have that sheep mentality. He wants us to be like Him. Our Father in heaven wants us to be like His Son, Jesus. Jesus didn't have a sheep mentality. Something to think about, eh? Okay, Proverbs 23, verse 7. Now remember, we spoke about Ben Feldman. He kept on sowing those seeds in his own heart. He kept on thinking. Remember, he pondered, he meditated, he thought about these things. He said, what if I add 1-0? So he thought about it. He sowed a seed in his own heart. He meditated upon that. And what did it produce? It produced a harvest. And he acted upon it. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's why I said to you, if a thought in your head is not spoken out, it dies unborn. Because the moment you start thinking stuff and you start speaking it, you will start believing yourself. That's why you've heard of people, you probably know people like that. They tell so many lies, they've convinced themselves that it's the truth. But the Bible says we mustn't do that. And James, it says that we can deceive our own hearts if we lie with our mouths. You see, if we line up with the Word of God, if we speak what the Word says about us, that's the truth. Then you cannot deceive your own heart. But as a man thinks in his own heart, so is he. Ben Feldman became what he thought of himself. He thought of himself as a multi-million dollar insurance policy salesman. And that's what he became. What do you think you are? What do you think you are? Galatians 6, verse 7 to 9 says this. Now we're talking about one way to ensure a financial crop failure. It's not naming your seed. But if the farmer takes his cucumber seeds and he puts it in the wrong kind of soil, say, I don't know what kind of soil a cucumber seed requires or cucumber plant, but maybe it needs acidic soil. Maybe it needs alkaline soil. Maybe it needs a mixture of both. Maybe it should be in between. But if the soil's not right, you can plant the seed and what's going to happen? It will be a mediocre crop because the soil also is not right. You see, so apart from the fact that we don't name our seed, we also just don't put it in the right soil. That's why if God speaks to you, say you're sitting in church or you're sitting in a meeting like this and God says to you, I want you to sow that much into this ministry, then you better be obedient, because then that seed is the right seed for this kind of soil. Then it will produce the crop that God wants to produce for you. Galatians 6 verse 7 to 9, it says, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. God's laws are God's laws. Just because you and I are a Christian, we can go to Hillbrow and climb on the Hillbrow Tower if they allow you. You can stand on the top there and jump off. What will happen to you? You will not grow wings. You might think you're an angel because mommy says so, or daddy says so, or somebody called you my angel, but you are not an angel. You will go splat. Why? Because that's the law of gravity. Even more real are the spiritual laws, and we keep on flaunting them. We keep on, in a sense, abusing them. We don't use them correctly. And simple things like this. People sow for years. Oh, well, you know that pastor over there. Look at the nice car he's driving, but I've been giving to this church all these years, and nothing happens to me. You are not sowing correctly. First of all, how many times have you heard a decent prayer being prayed over that offering? Most of those prayers are not worth anything. There's no faith in that prayer when they take that offering. There's no faith to multiply your seed. You see, and we're so religious in the church that we think, well, you know, I can't give and expect to get back. Well, get rid of that religious spirit. Because Jesus was sent by God to do what? To get many sons. He wanted many sons. He wanted all of us. He wanted us all back. So he said, okay, if I sow this one, this perfect seed, I'm going to reap all of those. Simple. He sowed him. And guess where he went? He went into the earth. And what did the earth produce? A glorified son. And many sons came. We'll look at some of those scriptures just now. The rowing and seeding. Sowing and reaping. I'll get it right. Sowing and reaping. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And we always think, yeah, you know, if I'm kind and nice. No, man. If you give according to the Spirit, then the Spirit will enable you to reap a harvest. He'll position your business correctly. The right products will come to you. The right clients will come to you so that you can reap that financial harvest because you're sowing after the Spirit. You're sowing your finances after the Spirit. Don't always spiritualize everything. Jesus was very practical. I mean, we're not in heaven yet. We have to live over here. So this is where it counts. Paul talks about the fact that the Jews have to become jealous of our prosperity. Are they jealous of the Christians?
No.
There's nothing to be jealous of. Or for anybody out there for that matter. So we get some airflow here. You see, we need to understand that in this world, people's needs have to be taken care of. What is the definition of true prosperity? It's very simple. It's to have a total abundant overflow of whatever it is, sufficient for your own needs, and the overflow sufficient to meet the needs of many people. So if you have an abundance of joy, have you ever met people like that? Lots of joyful people. And if you want to carry on miserable, you have to actually go out of the place because otherwise you become joyful.
Yeah.
Right? And that's a spiritual thing. But prosperity, because we're talking about finances. Do you just want enough to get by every month? I don't want to live like that. The ants don't live like that. I've used that example before. On average, the ants work 3 to 4 months out of the year. They store up during that time. The rest of the time they cultivate their cows and the stuff that they have done. I mean, it's an amazing study, these ants, what they do. That's why the scripture says, watch the ant. Look at the ant. Because they don't only work hard, they work smart. Very smart. And then it says in Galatians 6, further on, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. That's where we give up. You see, we sow a seed and then tomorrow morning the miracle hasn't happened. But you haven't been consistent. You need to be consistent over a period of time. Now, the scripture says, for whatsoever a man sows, he shall reap. That word, whatsoever, is also the word which, not W-I-T-C-H, W-H-I-C-H, which, or what, or that thing, or this or these. Okay? That's the condition. It's a conditional word in the Greek. It's conditional. So in other words, let's read it again. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for what a man sows. Or if a man sows this thing, then he shall reap. That's what it means. It's not just whatsoever. If you sow a certain thing, then you will reap. If I sow cucumber seeds in the correct soil, what am I going to reap? Cucumbers. Simple principle. God is not mocked. Whatever this thing is, or whatever of those you sow. If you sow hatred, what will you reap?
Hatred.
You want to make more friends? Say, well, I don't have any friends, I don't have any friends. Well, be a friend to somebody. You want to minister to people? You have a desire to minister to people or pray for the sick? Well, God never uses me. Man, if you feel that you want to pray for the sick, then go to the hospital. There are lots of them there. And just get permission and go into the wards and say, I'm a Christian. This is what the Bible says about it. Can I pray for you? And you know what? The chances are they will get healed. And before you know it, you'll have a ministry on your hands. Before you know it, you'll have to have people to help you. Before you know it, there'll be a feeding scheme. Before you know it, where's your church? Many churches have started like that. Many ministries have started that way. So whatever this thing is that you sow, if you sow finances, what are you going to reap? Finances. You see, it's difficult to reap a crop that you haven't sown. So Christians are either guilty of that. They don't sow at all financially. Or if they sow, they don't name the seed. So basically, you haven't really sown. You've allowed the enemy to come and steal that seed. Amen? Likewise, it's difficult not to receive a crop that you have sown properly. If the farmer prepares the soil correctly and the seeds are right and whatever, and he waters them, there will be a crop, a good crop. The other condition for your seed to sprout forth is to be willing and obedient. Isaiah 1 verse 19, it says that if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. So many times we are not willing and obedient. So I'm saying to you tonight, be willing and obedient, get rid of your religious mindset, and name your seed. So if you're trusting God for an increase in your salary, or you're trusting God for an increase in the turnover of your business, then you sow seed out of your business. And you call it that. Say, for instance, you sell 100 of a certain item per month, and the item is 20,000 rand, brings into your pocket. But you want to expand the business. Now, you don't want to be ridiculous and say, okay, I'm going to believe God. We're going to sell 300 this month. You've got to listen to what the Spirit says. If He tells you that, then it will happen. But He'll also tell you how to sow. He'll give you strategy for that. But so you pray and you say, Lord, we want more turnover because we want to expand. We've got this project here for the gospel, and we want to help our pastor plant a church, and we want to reach out to Malaysia or wherever it is. And Lord, we need so much more money. And to get that more money, we need to sell, instead of 100 of these 20,000 rand products, we need to sell 130. Lord, are you in agreement to that? And then the Lord witnesses with your spirit and He says, yes, but I want you to sow. And what we've seen many times, He'll expect you to sow a certain percentage of the extra that you want, like the tithe or something, on that amount. It's not always like that, but sometimes it happens that way. But you need to listen to God. In other words, if your tithe is 100 rand a month, say you earn 1,000 rand and you tithe 100 rand usually, but you're trusting God for your income to rise up to, or to, for a raise up to 1,500 rand. So what you do in faith, you say to the Lord, Lord, we need 1,500 rand a month in this household. So then you tithe 150 rand in faith. You're sowing a seed in advance. You see, you're calling those things which are not as though they are. That's faith. You see, instead of, well, I'm waiting for the 1,500 rand. You see, in the kingdom of God, He expects us to act in faith before He acts. Otherwise, it's not faith. You see, and that's the thing. So say, for instance, you trust God from 1,000 to 1,500, and that jump to put the extra 50 rand, because remember, you still don't have it in the natural. Say that jump is a bit big for you. Then you say, okay, Lord, I will trust you for 1,200 rand, so I'm going to tithe 120. And you sow seed in advance, and God will come through. We've seen many, many people prosper that way. Many miracles in our own lives. We've seen God come through in amazing ways. But we need to be willing and obedient. Then we will eat the good in the land. That's the condition. And we can either be willing and not obedient, and we can be obedient but not willing. We need to be both. And if we find that our hearts are not right, we go to the Lord, and it's the goodness of God, the goodness and kindness of God that leads us to repentance. What is repentance? To have a change of heart and mind. In other words, to become willing and obedient. Let's look at Luke. Let's look at Luke. Okay. Luke chapter 8. We're talking about one way to ensure a financial crop failure. And I said it's by not naming your seed. That's the biggest thing. Normally our attitudes are right and the soil is right and we're hearing God, but we don't name the seed. If you don't name the seed, you will not know when to expect the harvest. You see, you could have sown a seed and God knew what the seed was for, but when you go past the field, spiritually speaking, or in your business, say you're sowing now, as I used that example just now, you want those 30 extra sales for the extra turnover. But you're going to get those 30 sales in a different kind of environment. Not the usual clients that you have. They had different kind of clients. So you sow seed, but you don't name the seed. You're just sowing. Lord, I'm sowing because we want more turnover. When certain kinds of clients present themselves, you will not necessarily recognize that they are the field where you're going to harvest, because you didn't call the seed. You see, you can pray and say, okay, Lord, I'm sowing this seed. Where would you like us to go for the harvest? And the Lord says, I want you to go into that industry. And then you think, that industry, I don't think they use our product. And the Lord says, I want you to go into that industry, but sow your seed. And guess what? You will go into that industry, you'll recognize it because you've sown the seed, and that will be the field of harvest. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you don't give your seed a name, you will miss the field, because you don't know what field it is, because there is no name to the seed. If the farmer tells one of his workers, he has a bag of cucumber seeds, go and sow them. And then 2 weeks later, he goes out there and he says, now, I know I've sowed a couple of hectares of cucumbers, but all of this looks the same. And I know the cucumbers, they have to be taken care of specially. They need special fertilizer, and I need to water them so regularly. But because you don't know, maybe you're assuming that this is the field of a year and it's actually a more hardy crop, so you're not watering them and so on, but you think it's something else, and over there the cucumber seeds are dying in the other field, because you don't know that they are cucumber seeds, because your worker went and sowed them and you don't know where. We do the same with God. I think you're starting to get the picture. It's important. We need to name the seeds so we do not miss the harvest field. Luke chapter 8, from verse 5. A sower went out to sow seed. We all know this parable. We have heard it probably thousands of times. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what the word says. A sower went out to sow seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the traveled path and was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. And some seed fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprouted, it withered away because it had no moisture. And other seed fell in the midst of the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it off. And some seed fell into good soil and grew up and yielded a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him be listening and consider and understand by hearing." What was he saying? There's a principle that he's illustrating. And when his disciples asked him the meaning of his parable, they didn't understand. And he explained in verse 11, "Now the meaning of the parable is this. The seed is the word of God." Right. Let's put it in perspective. Different kinds of soil. You've got to hear from God, firstly, where the soil is. Say God tells you to sow here a certain amount, or at your church. Then that's the right soil. You name your seed according to the word of God. You see, you go to God and say, "God, how must I sow? What am I supposed to sow?" He, first of all, gives you the word of God. He gives you the word of the Lord. He witnesses with your spirit what His word is for that situation that you are sowing for. That's the first seed. And so all you're doing in obedience to that word of God, because the seed is the word of God. Your heart is the soil that He actually sows into. You taking the money in obedience to that seed of the word of God in your own heart, and you're sowing it and giving it a name. But the soil is actually your heart that you're sowing in. Your heart works just like the soil. Because if I sow money in my local church, that church doesn't smell like fertilizer. It doesn't look like a field. It doesn't. Where am I sowing it? I'm actually sowing it in the Spirit. You see, I'm listening to the Word of God. I get the Word of God. The Word of God is sown in my heart. I obey and become willing. And then I give that seed the name. That's the whole key. And we don't do it that way. We just throw. We have thrown lots of seed. All of us have just... we just throw. What happens to that? You don't even know what kind of soil it falls into. Most of the time, you never get a harvest. But you know what? There's redemption because of the blood of Jesus. You go back. The Lord will bring it to your remembrance because He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be blessed. Repent of your lack of faith and not doing that, and then give those things names. Because the enemy has stolen those things. He's used it for his purposes. But you know what? We take back from the enemy. That's why Jesus came, to give it back to us. The first seed to be sown is the seed of the word in your heart. So you can see to sow the right financial seed into the correct and fruitful soil. That's the seed. That's the first seed. If you don't have that in your heart, you're not going to sow anyway. A close family member that we have who's very much in debt, that used to tithe and used to give offerings, and God used to bless this person, told us recently, "I don't believe in tithing." Well, we can see. We can see. I mean, that debt is how much? Almost in terms of South African money, 100,000 rand or something. "Well, I don't believe in tithing." Well, we can see that. Because the enemy has come and stolen the seed from that person's heart. See, if they accept the engrafted word, which has the power to save our souls and bless us, then what will we do? What will that person do? If they accept the word, they will start sowing seed, financial seed. Second Corinthians 9:6-10. And you've heard me read that a couple of times here already when we take the offering, and we will do that again tonight. 2 Corinthians 9:6-10. "Remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly." See, as a man sows. so shall he reap. And he who sows generously and that blessings may come to someone will also reap generously and with blessings. Why do we bless? Why do we bless financially? So that somebody can be blessed. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart. That word purpose. In the Greek, it means to make a specific and deliberate choice. Now, we all know that. You can probably look that up in an Oxford dictionary. It's to make a specific and deliberate choice before another event. That's what the Greek says. What other event? The event of reaping. See, that's what it says in the Greek. That word purpose there. To make a specific and deliberate choice before another event so as to determine a specific income. I mean, you're a journalist, so you like to study words. To make a specific and deliberate choice before another event so as to determine a specific outcome. So, your purpose in your heart to sow a certain seed. With what purpose do you sow the seed? So that you can get a certain harvest. That's what he's saying. He's talking about sowing. And specifically in this situation, he's talking about a financial gift, because the preceding verses he talks about this gift. A number of places he talks about a gift. And it's about finances that were collected by the one church or number of churches, and Paul took it to another church to bless them, to buy them food and do whatever they needed to have done. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. If we understand why we sow and that we that the purpose in our heart determines the outcome, nobody will be reluctant. Those offerings that I used to see when I was a kid, this very flat wooden plate, I mean, the rim on that thing was probably 3 millimeters. And it was, you know, I remember by the third or fourth person that put their handful of coins on that thing, they started falling off. And to great embarrassment. And sometimes the deacons used to walk and then drop some and, you know, and you just saw coins. I'm sure we've all seen those things. And then the church had a meeting and then they decided, we're going to have little cloth ones. And I mean, it took 5 years before that was approved. You know what I'm saying? I mean, who wants... I mean, it doesn't even speak of prosperity. How do they want to bless the minister? We're aware of a minister right now in the area where we live. He's a pastor of a wealthy congregation, but his salary is not sufficient for him. So he's relieving at another couple of congregations of the same denomination. He helps them out to supplement his income. But his main congregation is a wealthy congregation. It's a wealthy area. A pastor cannot make it. I've never been in that church, but I'd love to see what those offering things look like. They don't speak prosperity. They don't speak bless us. Doesn't say that. So we see now we need to be specific with our seed. We need to name that thing. That's the one way to ensure a financial harvest. And why do we do that? Because if we know what the seed is, we will know what kind of soil we have to sow into. Why is the soil important? We saw that. There are different kinds of soil. Some places the enemy can steal. Some places it just dries out. But this principle of sowing has come a long way. It's actually come from the beginning of the Bible. And many of us, I mean, I read this for years. As a kid, I used to read it. Wow, I wonder how God did that. Never really saw anything. I remember I realized God said, but the penny didn't drop. We are created in God's image, and we're supposed to also say, it's with your mouth. It's with your mouth that you get saved. You confess Jesus Christ as Lord. I mean, if you've ever been in a service where somebody manifests a demon or something and you say to that person, confess Jesus as Lord, what do they want to do? They want to curse him. They don't want to confess him because it is with the mouth that you are saved. You declare it with your mouth because You will only declare something if you believe it in your heart. It's a simple principle, but so powerful. God believed in his heart. He had a picture of the entire creation in his heart, and he believed it so much one day he got excited and he just spoke it out. Everything that we see today exists because of that. He got excited about his vision. Seed produces after its own kind. That's why we name the seed. Genesis 1, verse 11. There's another reason for you. Why do we name the seed? Because it produces after its own kind. And God said in verse 11 of chapter Genesis 1, let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and the fruit trees yielding fruit, each according to its kind, whose seed is in itself. The cucumbers, this field here. You see this field here already. I've looked at it so many times, I can see them. It's growing here, beautiful. What will we get? And what kind of seeds will they produce? That was very big cucumbers. They will produce more. And where are the seeds? Within themselves. When those little seedlings come up, and when they're 2 centimeters high, can you see any seeds? But what does the scripture say? It has its seed within itself. Where are your children? Where were they before you had them? Let's put it that way. If you haven't had children yet, well, but the ones of us that have had children, where did they come from? The seed is within you. That's the most amazing thing. When my wife was pregnant, it was the most miraculous thing I'd ever seen, to watch that child grow. Well, I don't know what it feels like physically, but I know spiritually what it's like for something to grow within me. I mean, imagine having that life within you. Only women know this thing. But in the spirit, I know. Because I've carried things to term in the spirit. In the natural, I don't know. But I know how excited it makes me. Next time you see a pregnant woman in the street, just think about that. There's another human being. That child was in her. That child was in her parents. So it goes. We were in Abraham's loins, doesn't the scripture tell us? Verse 12, we were in God's heart, yes. I'll still do that teaching. You were a word in the heart of God, and he spoke you into existence. And because you're a word out of the heart of God, you will not return void unto him. You will accomplish that which he sent you forth to do. Verse 12, the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kind. Why does a donkey and a horse, why doesn't it work? What do you get? What's the product? It's a mule. Can a mule reproduce? No. It's sterile. And? It can kick, yeah. And it can be very stubborn. It gets a lot of the donkey nature. And trees bearing fruit in which was their seed, each according to their own kind. And God saw that this was good. He approved that whole thing. That's why we name our seed. That's the biggest problem. Normally our hearts are right. Normally we want to bless people. Normally we want to bless the work of God. Normally we want to bless the Lord. We just want to be a blessing. But we do not name the seed. So what is that financial seed that you sow? What's it supposed to produce? If you don't give it a name. Because in the spirit you can do this. It's a spiritual thing. We're not sowing after the flesh. What do they do in the natural? They look at this cucumber and they say, well, we don't like the size of this thing. So what do? They genetically engineer it. And you get hybrids and stuff. Can those things reproduce?
No.
No. They cannot reproduce because it can't reproduce after its own kind. It's been messed with. The program has been corrupted. Simple things like this. Absolutely important. I tell you now, I challenge you tonight when we take the offering. I want you to think about it carefully. Ponder about it. Think about this thing and then put action to your faith. It's not so much the amount when you sow tonight. Give that thing a name. If there's a deal or something that you're trusting God for that's taking long. I remember we were waiting for something. We were waiting for money for many, many years. There was money promised to us because of an inheritance. It was 50,000 rand, right? And we had waited how long?
4 years.
Already 4 years, and they said it was going to still be long and it's going to still take time and whatever. So I said to a man, and I got a righteous anger within me, and I said to a man, I understand this thing about calling a seed and giving it a name. And we were still in a church there next to the Centurion Lake in Pretoria in a basement, and I remember it was damp because when it would rain, the water would seep into the place. And I took 5 rand, and I don't think we had very much more than the 5 rand. And I took that 5 rand, I sowed it, and I said, I call this 50,000 rand. And how quick was that?
A week.
Boom. They released the money. Yes, the money was already promised to me, but the devil was sitting on it. The enemy was taking it and holding it and holding it and holding it. Just by faith. Boom. We released it. You can too. Whatever it is you need, it's out there. God wants us to go out and take the world. Your spirit is like soil and receives words or the word of God via the soul. What's the soul? The soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, your eyes, your ears, your smell, taste, and so forth. The senses. Your senses are seated in the soul. So the word comes through there. Even if you're blind, you can read the word of God with your fingers. If you're deaf, you can see the word of God. The word of God's powerful. It'll come into your heart. Your heart, your spirit man, is like soil. That's why I said just now, the first seed that must be sown is in your heart. Because if there's no faith to sow. You will not give a name to the seed. Our spirit is like soil and receives the word of God via the soul, or word seeds, because the Bible talks about itself as seed. Remember that parable? The sower was sowing the seed, and Jesus said, the seed is the word of God. The spirit, like the soil, does not concern itself about the kind of seed, whether it's good or evil seed. How many of you have planted something somewhere, even if it was an experiment at school? I planted stuff in cotton wool. As long as I put water to that, it grew. But you know what? There was no nourishment for the plant in the cotton wool, so it didn't normally last. You had to plant it into proper soil. Then only would it flourish. But you throw anything in the soil outside, something happens to it. You take a piece of metal, you take a piece of steel, you stick it in the ground. You come back 20 years later. What will have happened to that? It'll be completely rusted away. Why? Yes, the earth was trying to make that piece of steel grow. Think about it. That's what the earth does. So you stick it in there and it says, okay, I must do something with this. So it tries to make it grow. So it puts all the processes into action and it actually erodes the piece of steel away. You put a seed in that, guess what? It doesn't erode it away. Comes forth. It's designed like that. Your spirit is the same. You sow the seed of God in your spirit, guess what? You're going to become that tree of righteousness. You're going to become a prosperous tree for the Lord. Have you ever wondered how the soil does this? I mean, what would it look like? A farmer goes and, okay, we've got the cucumber seeds in there. And the next day, guess what he does? He's down on his knees there, and he scratches the seed out, and he checks. And okay, now I wonder how this, and he sticks it back. You think he's going to have a harvest in the first place? I mean, if he digs them all up. And he says, okay, maybe I'll wait a week. Now, maybe some of them would come up then. And then he takes it out and he says, I wonder how this works. Does he know? Okay, the scientists have done all the research now and all that, but still. They don't really know how it works because science has never been able, I don't know, maybe in your journalistic experience you maybe came across something like that, but science has never been able to produce a seed. No. So they don't understand how that works. You and I do not have to worry how the soil works. We have to be willing and obedient. Call the seed what it's supposed to be. Just give it a name. And then water it with the confession of your mouth. If you want that race and the enemy comes to you and your thinking patterns go haywire, the thoughts come, fear comes. Oh, I wonder how we're going to make it. And you say, on that day I sowed this much seed. And I believe my harvest is a raise of so much this month. That's what you do. Or that deal. This seed that I'm sowing, is that successful deal? So when things don't work, what do? On that day, I sowed the seal, or the seed for that deal. The seal for the deal. The seal for the deed. Amen. It will germinate. You just got to water it with the word of God. Say, I believe I receive it. I believe I receive it. I believe I receive it. Faith is of the heart and gives substance to the seed planted. See, faith is in your heart. You plant the seed of the word of God there and the faith comes and gives substance to it and it grows. We try to figure out how faith works, but when we plant something in the natural, we don't do that. See, in the spiritual, oh, I wonder how this is going to work. I wonder how God's going to do this now. Just plant the seed and believe it and declare it and speak it and believe it. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. You might have to fight off the birds that want to try and come and eat the seed in the meantime with your faith. The shield of faith. I close with this tonight and we'll carry on next time. Have you ever heard of a criminal that has turned over a new leaf? Maybe he got saved in prison. He's turned over a new leaf. He worked for the mafia before. Comes out of prison. And he's out there in the world for a month. And he decides to become a policeman. And so he goes to the police college and he's doing very well. At the end of the month, during the pay parade, okay, candidate officer so-and-so, where are you? Come and collect your pay. And he's not there and they can't find him. And next day he comes back and then he says, they ask him, where were you? He said, no man, I went back to my mafia boss to collect my salary. Why would he do that? Because he doesn't know the rules of this new life. He doesn't understand it yet. His thinking is still according to the old ways. Do you know what? We do the same in the kingdom of God. We do things the old way. The world's way says, get. God's way says, give, and give it a name. Give that seed a name. So yet, in one way, we still go to the ex-mafia boss, remember that guy that we used to serve, and we want to do it his way. But you know what? You get taken out by him. Amen. We close with that. Father, we thank you for the word. Father, we thank you that your word is seed in our hearts. And we thank you, Father, that it grows mightily under the unction of your spirit and under the anointing of your spirit, and because we water it with our confession. We thank you, Father, that you bless us. We thank you, Lord, that our faith grows like that mustard seed faith, grows into a mighty tree that provides shelter and makes provision. Father, we thank you that we are like that in our businesses. Thank you, Lord, that our businesses prosper and that they grow because we understand seed faith, understand how to sow our seed. Father, as we go from here, we trust you to speak to us. We trust you to teach us even further. Bring this word to our remembrance and show us how to sow our seed accurately. How to discern the soil. How to be spiritual farmers. We thank you, Lord, for our financial crop in Jesus' name. Amen.